Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting, her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hey, welcome, beautifuls, to another enlightening episode of Voice Rising. Today, I am delighted to welcome Meredith Heller, author of the transformative book, Writing by Heart, to our show. Meredith is not only a poet, singer-songwriter, and nature lover, but also an educator who has dedicated her life to guiding others on their writing journeys. In Writing by Heart, her new book, Meredith invites us to explore the profound connection between writing and self-discovery, offering techniques that empower individuals to navigate life's challenges with clarity and creativity. So join us as we delve into the transformative power of writing and uncover the wisdom that lies within the pages of Meredith's new inspiring book. Welcome, Meredith, to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
It is so good to have you. I mean, I'm a songwriter and a poet myself, and so it was really lovely to hold your book in my hands and just feel all the different journeys that not only you have gone through, but your clients have gone through, and all the beautiful exercises that you give us. You do tell your readers that you're going to take them on a journey of deep self-discovery. So share with us how writing can serve as a vehicle for exploring our innermost truths and our own voices.
Thank you so much. I love that you loved holding this book in your hands and feeling it. I feel the same way. And it is such a woven fabric of so many women's voices and journeys. And I think one of the most beautiful things that happens when you begin to work with this book, or for the people who come to my workshops, is that we begin to see how our commonality that we're all on this human journey.
Yes.
Of self-discovery and hopefully self-expression. And there's a commonality, so we're not alone.
Yes.
And at the same time, our story, our journey, our voice matters. And when we start claiming our voice and all of the experiences that have happened in our lives that make us exactly who we are, that help us to show up the way we do right now in our lives, and own all of the experiences and give voice to them, we become whole. We become rich beings who can access our own intuition and our wisdom from what we've been through, as well as making healthy, wise choices for what we want to envision into being in our lives. So this book and my workshops really hold space for people to do a deep dive into personal self-reflection with kindness and curiosity and courage. Where have I been? Where am I now? Where do I want to go? How do I weave it all together and tap my creativity and deep muse and deep psyche to really become a vibrant, alive participant in my own life, creating a life I love? And I think this kind of writing and this kind of deep personal journey, my deepest hope, my deepest prayer is that it makes each of us fall more in love with ourselves and our lives and life itself.
I love that. I love that. And I know myself as a singer-songwriter, sometimes I've tapped into these really deep emotions and been confronted with shame or shyness. And somehow when they start then finding light, not only finding light, but you talk about this, the healing quality of generative writing. But also my experience was when it comes out and it's held by a beautiful group, that we realize that we're not alone, that other people have also struggled with the first loves, or other people have also felt that their body was not enough, or other people have, and suddenly it's that is so healing, right? Because when we're writing, we think like, oh my God, like how stupid was I to fall in love with this guy who didn't treat me well, maybe, and suddenly you sit in a room and it's like four other people are like, wow, no, I also no, had this experience.
It's like 12 other people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so true. I love that you're making this point. It's so true.
And in that reflection, you know, is something collective that happens that we can hold each other in that reflection, right? And that's what I mean. That's been my experience, that when I've sung from my deepest truth and suddenly everyone's quiet and everyone's listening, and then there's a little bit of, you know, one's even sometimes embarrassed and like, but this is my truth. And then suddenly people are clapping and saying, wow. And you're like, a part of you is lighter because the collective then carries your burdens. And it's so mind blowing. It's just so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. I agree. There is a way that we have so much shame about things that bring us sorrow or pain or hurt. And this is what we've learned as a culture, to hide it away and feel bad about it. And when we take those things, the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and the depression and the loss, and the grieving and the feeling bad about who we are or our bodies, when we take all of those out of hiding and are willing to look at them and share them and have them witnessed by others who say, oh yeah, I felt that way, I've been through that, it takes it out of a place of shame. And I think that it helps us to make more space for the whole full range of who we are as human beings, and just say, wow, this is part of the mix. I don't have to push my hurt and my pain away. And like you were saying, when we share it with a wider audience, I had the same thing. I mean, I didn't share my writing or my music for probably 20 years because it was my private refuge. It was my way of praying, and I didn't want to risk any rejection. When I did start sharing, it was my songs first, very personal. And usually the song was about healing some kind of deep hurt or wound. And what I realized was people would come up to me after I had shared a song, and they would come up to me in tears and say, oh my God, you put into words what I feel that I've never been able to name. And the melodies, you know, touched me in ways that allowed me to feel the depth of the emotion in a way that allowed me to heal. And I realized at that point that it was bigger than me. Yeah. And that I was in service to the expression of this creative expression, and that the way it moved people and helped people to understand themselves was the true full circle of it.
Well, that is what is so magical, too, about the voice, because I work with, you know, thousands of voices. And what is so magical is that it's our personal instrument, right? It's so personal, and yet it's so collective. It is the vibrational force that is moving and weaving between all of us, whether it's listening to the news or grabbing a beautiful book from the library or having a conversation with your child or talking on the phone to your mom or singing in a concert. It's like the voice is connecting us all in this beautiful tapestry. And it's just so, it's so gorgeous, because it's like there are very few things in this world besides air, maybe, and water,
right,
that are as stunning as the voice. It's like we all have our own little personal voice. I always say we come to the planet, and we are in our voice before we can open our fists, before we can sit up and hold our head, before we can crawl, before we can, you know, we have our voice, right? That's guiding us. It's so stunning, and connecting us, because if we don't use our voice, no one's going to come and run and hold us. So we know this power of the voice. And somewhere then it gets a little bit dampened by the other voices around us. But my theory is, Meredith, it's my theory, is that when we strengthen our own voices, the other voices in our head that we've taken on, the critics, the judges, the people that said we're not enough or so, we're able to hear more clearly. Like our resonant field is much bigger. And so they start to kind of go into the shadow lands again, you know? And if we don't strengthen that tool that we have, whether it's singing or writing or, you know, being conscious of our words, somehow they can overtake us. They can overrun our lives. And then we're just stuck in a mess. Exactly.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about how the voice connects us like air. I was thinking that too, like air, because I always say the air connects us all. And, and I love weaving in the voice. I love what you're saying about how our voice is like our fingerprint, our signature, and that it's one of the first ways that we call what we need in this life to us, to be cared for, to ask for, you know, what we need, to say yes, to say no. And so many times in workshop, because in workshop, we always write and we always share. Everybody shares their piece, no matter if they think it's good or bad, because I can always find something beautiful in everybody's piece to reflect back to them. And I think that too builds the power of people knowing how important their own voice is, to hear lines from their piece reflected back to them. And so a lot of times people will share their piece in workshop, and I say, wait, stop, close your eyes and read those two, or close your eyes and say that one line again and own it. Like you believe it.
Yeah.
And they do that, and it changes everything and really begins to build this thing you're talking about, this deep relationship of listening into our voice, where it comes from in our bodies, consciously what we're saying, how we're shaping sound, and how that sound becomes what we're creating in our lives and how we're showing up. And gosh, it is just so deep. It is such a wildly mystical and enlivening process to work with this depth of being, how we reach out from our being to connect with the world through creativity, through voice, through sharing a poem, through sharing a song. I just love it.
And when we're really healthy, we say we're sound. Isn't that funny? I love that so much. It's like we're of sound mind. We're a sound body. We're making sound decisions. We know intuitively that this is the real deal, that when we're in a sound place, we're in a whole place. We feel whole,
yes.
Right? It's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and
so beautiful.
Yeah, it's you start your book with a quote by Metshona Dilwaihu. I'm hoping I'm saying that word right. And it's beautiful. It's talking about the metaphor of a seed using both light and darkness. And I think that's a lot of people are striving always towards the light and wanting to show the light, but forgetting that the roots of the seed are basically in the dark, and that the seed sometimes has to kind of trust and go through a layer of, you know, worms and shit before it can get its little green, tender, how do you say it, sprout, right? Out of the earth. So how do you work with that, guiding people to integrate both the light and the shadows, or the dark and the light, while they're writing?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really one of my very favorite topics, is allowing the fallow part of our cycle, or what feels like the fallow part, the fertile darkness. And in this culture, in this society, we are conditioned to push away the dark and to move away from the shadow lands. And I really think there's so much richness here for us in the darkness, and to know that the whole full cycle includes times of rest, times of undoing, times of darkness and not knowing, to really embrace the unknown, like nature, right? Like nature has its cycles. And if we can remember that we are part of nature, we are nature, we are expressions of the same life force, and we too have to have our times of darkness and undoing and fallow, and not just when we're sleeping and unplugged, but in a way when we're conscious of the darkness, conscious of the undoing, where it feels like nothing's happening and nothing is being produced. And yet, under the soil, in the darkness, is where everything that comes into being begins and is birthed. Like you said, the seeds in the soil, all new ideas, everything begins in the fertile darkness. So even when we have times when we're not writing or not producing, to be in a relationship of trust, and it takes practice to be in a relationship of trust and friendship with ourselves and with the greater cycles of life, knowing that even when I don't feel like I can write, or I'm not producing anything, that things are germinating in the rich darkness. And when they are ready, in their own time, we cannot force it, we cannot push it, in their own time, that little sprout will begin to develop and grow and push its way up through the dark soil toward the warmth of the sun. And it's even in the pushing that seed and that sprout and that plant begins to build the strength and the trust it's going to need to come into fruition. So it is really so much about, I think, so much like creativity and being in creative process, is being 1,000% present and 1,000% out of the way simultaneously, trusting this flow, utilizing the instrument of who we are while we trust this flow that is bigger than we are and includes all of the growth and all of the fruition and all of the undoing and what feels like the dormant fallow period. We need it all.
That is so beautiful. I was just thinking about how when a gardener, when his leaves are burned or whatever, he often looks at the soil. He doesn't try to fix the leaf. He's looking at the soil, and you write that in the book. You talk about, you know, like even the art of composting. And I, you know, that yeah. then we think about that, like, what would we like to compost today? Like, what is maybe a little bit have we outgrown, or which peel would we like to throw away, right, into the compost?
Right?
And it's beautiful. And I think what's so lovely is that we get different images, and through these images we're free, because suddenly we're like, oh, I don't have to do much. I just have to think of, you know, weeding a little bit, or I think of the composting, allowing the things just to sit and rot to make the most beautiful soil in the world, and then I can plant a little bit more. You know, it's
right. Oh my,
it's
God.
Gorgeous. I work so well with this these visions, and I'm you know, really grateful. We need to take a little short break for our sponsors, but I'm very grateful that the poetry is weaving itself through this book on writing. So let's take a very short break for our sponsors, and then we'll be right back and talk more about
your
new book.
Cara.
Yeah.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited
for summer break because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And And we are back. If you are enjoying the show, don't forget to like and subscribe on your favorite streaming platform to catch all the future episodes. And so now let's dive back in to our conversation with Meredith Heller. She has a new book out there on writing, Writing by Heart. Meredith, one of the things that you are so good at, I have to say you're very good at it, and I love it so much, is you call it generative writing. And, you know, I really appreciate that, because sometimes I'm writing and I feel like a river that's just pouring, you know, words onto a page, and then suddenly the workshop leader will say, okay, now let's start to put this into an essay or whatever. And it just blocks me, like totally blocks me. And it was just so refreshing to understand that there's somebody else out there that's doing what we call generative writing. And so share with us a little bit more. Your definition of poetry encompasses so many different forms of expressive writing, including, I'm going to say this, I love it, prose, essays, stories, and mind spills. That's coming directly from your book, Mind Spills, lyrics. So what is poetry? Yeah, what does poetry mean to you? And how do you work with this very expansive definition while you're writing and teaching?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that's true for so many people, that they begin to find a flow in their writing, and then somebody says, okay, now put it into a form.
Right.
Or now create it in a way so that you're going to share it with the world. And so the first thing that I do is, these days, I am really using poetry as an umbrella term to encompass and hold space for this kind of deep, personal, self-reflective, self-expressive writing that we do if you're following the book or if you come to workshop. And all forms of writing are welcome. I say write poetry, write prose, mind spill, heart spill, song lyrics, make up your own form, write formlessly, just write.
Yeah.
Get it flowing, and don't write for anybody outside yourself. Write to contact deep psyche, to commune with your muse, to be in the creative flow, which I have to say, these days for me, when I am writing a piece, it is almost, that is what I'm going for now, is when I'm in the middle of a piece and I'm writing, and there is no poet and no poem, there is simply poeming, and I'm
poeming.
And I'm in that creative flow, and then yes, I have a piece, but it's not as exciting, the piece itself, anymore, as when I am in the flow.
So
if I can hold space for other people to have the rich experience of being, like you were saying, when the river is pouring through you, having that experience and knowing, and practicing accessing that experience more and more, and the way it feeds and nourishes our life force and our lives, that to me is the essence of this writing practice that I'm offering. All forms of writing are welcome. Make up your own form. And most importantly, write. Just write.
I love that. Just write. Just write and write.
Just write.
And, that's right. Now, I was just thinking about when you said that, because I used to say, you said poeming, and I used to say poeming, actually, and it was similar. I used to, you know, say, you know, let's make some, you know. Yeah, it's really beautiful what a writing practice can do. And you also have a beautiful practice in the book, which is giving voice to our body, meaning not only to feel the writing move through our body, but to really name it. You know, what about the left shoulder? What about our belly? What about our throat? And even deep diving into our womb and our vagina and all these kind of topics maybe, or places with navigate our own geography where we might feel shy or have been wounded, right? So absolutely. Talk about, share with that. How is it? I mean, you're sitting in a workshop and suddenly you're connecting the people back to this sacred vessel, which we have, which we walk this earth, right, with. We can't really change it. I mean, we can maybe shape it, right, by walking or whatever, becoming windsurfers or whatever. But generally, I mean, I'm 5'1". That's not going to change, right?
Right.
Maybe I'll become 5 foot at some point. I don't know. But what's it like, or what's exciting about when we start connecting deeply with our belly button or our big toe or our kneecap? Or
right. So I was a body worker for 27 years doing massage therapy and specializing in rehab with spinal cord injury patients. For 27 years, that was my work. So as you can imagine, I have worked with hundreds of thousands of bodies.
Wow.
And what I learned is that the body, I mean, I could put my hands on somebody's lower back and know everything there was to know about this person on an energetic level, right? And
yeah.
So what I learned was that the body holds all the stories, all the experiences that have ever happened to us are held in the body, just the way you know that they're held and expressed in the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, you know, actually, that's really interesting. I think I'll include in the next body language workshop the voice also. Thank you.
Nice.
I'm going to do that.
Nice.
Yeah. And so when we make room to commune with our bodies in this self-reflective way with inquiry, there's two pieces. One is to give our attention to parts of our body that have been shamed or wounded or have gone through injuries or surgeries. So parts that hurt, and what's natural is to push those parts away and to exile them because they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the writing for wounded parts or illness, we call these parts of our body home, into the heart of our love and our family of being, and let those parts express what they need to express, knowing that we're listening. So knowing that they've really been heard. I hear that you hurt. I hear that you're cranky. I hear that it hurts to move, or that you're afraid, or that you're shy, or that you're ashamed, or that you've had deep wounds. I hear that. And there's something, again, like we were saying, even when we share a piece about something we've been ashamed about and it's witnessed by other people, when we allow a body part to share into the refuge of our own heart,
yeah,
and it's been heard, it changes the experience and the identity of that part of our body. So there's that piece. And then there's the other piece of maybe a part that isn't wounded, but that we've never communed with, like feet. Like feet, teach me your wisdom. Teach me about stability. Teach me what it's like to have 26 bones that work in concert to create arches and lift and every little movement that we don't even think about just to get up and walk across a room. I mean, it's thrilling. So feet, give me your wisdom. I open the door and let the feet speak through the poem we're writing, through the story we're writing, or neck, or fingers, or womb or vagina. There's so many stories for vagina. I mean, and to bring it all out into the open in workshop the way we do, or working with the book, the stories that we've kept private and hidden.
Yeah, yeah.
And these could be both stories of wounding and glory stories, you know, but we're so repressed as a culture that we tend to often keep both of these ends of the spectrum hidden. And to give voice and, again, to weave all of the pieces back into, as you said before, back into the soundness, the wholeness of being. This is how we heal. This is how we heal. This is how we become sound and whole and true. Yeah.
I was just thinking when you were saying hurt and heard, and I was feeling it on the tip of my tongue, and the tip are in the same place, and it's actually more or less not only the same sound, but it's the same. You form it the same, hurt and heard. Every hurt is longing to be heard, right? It's really fascinating how our words can guide us to a place of belonging and a place of feeling so at home in ourselves and in community. And I think that is, in this fast-paced world, we need places, more circles and more. You said a couple times in the interview, you know, this place of refuge, this feeling of I've created a sanctuary. We need places like that, because we used to dance around the fires and we used to maybe cook a meal together. And now everyone's just, I mean, not me, but everyone's maybe popping it in, you know, some quick thing into the microwave or whatever, right? I'm still old fashioned making my, you know, my soup, you know, peeling my beets, whatever. But talk to us. We're isolated. We are isolated. Yeah, and it's, and maybe there's a false belonging, because everyone feels so connected with, you know, everything is going so fast and we are so connected. We have freeways connecting all our cities. We have, you know, social media and everything. And yet we've never been lonelier, right? Even when you go to a body worker, often, or a doctor, they don't really have time. The body worker, we're lucky, because if you have a good body worker and you go more often, then they do really know your body. And they can also go on a journey with you, right? It's not just popping in for a massage somewhere. You can really, if you have a relationship with a good energy worker, body worker, So talk to us a little bit about creating that writing practice and creating a sanctuary in our lives that can anchor us in this very chaotic, fast-paced world, how it can maybe give us a still point.
Yeah, absolutely. I am so attuned with what you're saying. It's so sad, the point that you made, which is so true, that we are more connected than ever globally and more alone than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful. It brings my tears, really. And so I think we're talking about two things simultaneously. One is that in the insane pace of the world, we need even more so places of refuge and sanctuary and a still point and a place of self-reflection. So creating a sanctuary for ourselves to do this kind of deep self-reflective, back to what we were talking about before, composting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
digesting what's happening in my life. Am I ready to compost that old hurt now, that old resentment now, that old way of being now that no longer serves me, and give it over to the compost pile that knows how to turn it into healthy, rich soil again? So in workshop, I actually created these workshops while we were in, the first workshop was October 2020, and we were in the middle of quarantine. And
wow.
Everybody was so isolated and alone. And I said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I had been teaching kids poetry writing in the schools for 30 years. And I thought, I have to start this program for women.
Yeah.
Because we have always sat around the fire and talked and sang and danced, and we're together doing laundry, and we're together cooking, and we're together gardening, and we've lost our circles, and we are in soul deficit because of this. And then we have the quarantine and the pandemic, and so these workshops that I'm teaching for women came out of that need to sit together in circle and create community. And so we have this community of workshop. Even people who haven't been to workshop and are just working with the book have written to me and said, I feel like I'm part of a community of all the people that are working with your book and writing. I mm-hmm. love that. And then back to what we were talking about with the body, creating community within our own being.
Yeah.
To hold space for ourselves, for each part of us that is here, and passing the talking stick to the knee, to the foot, to the mm-hmm. womb, to the belly. And when I think that each of these communities, the personal community and the greater community, they feed each other, and we learn how to show up more fully in ourselves and with others, from our partners to our families to our neighborhoods to our towns, and hopefully to the whole global community. And I always include the living community, nature also, which is my biggest temple is nature. So I think that this whole living community grows as we make space to slow down and commune, really to take the time and the kind attention to inquire, what is bubbling up in my belly? What is bubbling up in my heart right now in relation to what's happening with me, my own life, the world, and to be radically honest about it. And we can do that in our writing without the pressure of having to share it with anybody. We can be radically honest, which we can't always do in our lives. Mm-hmm. You can say, there's a section in the book for rants and raves. And yeah. you can be radically honest, knowing if you don't ever want anyone else to find that or read it, you can tear it up, you can burn it up, you can get rid of it. But you've voiced it to yourself. You've taken it out of the place of hiding and shame and shyness, and you have voiced it. And once we see it there on the page, or we read it out loud and share it, it is wildly liberating and fortifying.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, you know, this idea of compassionate action in many ways, because many people are just consuming, like, for example, consuming the news, and they don't know how to really act, and in the end, it paralyzes them. But if yeah. we can take the rage or the anger and write it out, then we have the ability to digest or to integrate or to find peace, or maybe not to find peace, but we're not holding all this tension. You know, if you were writing during the pandemic, everybody knew here too in Europe being in lockdown and everything, it was a lot of things to hold. whether it was our health or finances or not being able to see your mother and she was in a nursing home, or just a lot of things to hold. And the putting pen to paper, and or I'm excited to hear you guys start singing and bringing laughter and more and more voice into the room. It's magical when we can start to release it out again, No, I was going to ask, what would you love readers to take away from your new book, Writing by Heart, right? So what would you like them to, what is the essence? What would you like them to?
To start a writing practice. Start a writing practice and to experience how writing is a path home. It is a path home to making room for all of us. And what you were just talking about the anger and not holding on to it and the sadness, realizing that these parts of ourselves, these voices in ourselves, want our attention for a reason. So maybe if we start writing all the sadness and the hurt and the anger down, if we start writing it down, we learn the messages and the doorways that are available within these emotions, and we begin to make changes or take action, listening to the depth of our intuition. What is calling me? My anger is calling me because there's something that's not okay. My sadness is calling me because there's probably another layer of acceptance or forgiveness that my system is asking me for, to come back into that place of being sound. And writing is a path home.
Writing is a path home. Meredith, I thank you so much for sharing your insights and your wisdom and being a fellow traveler on this path, right? So generative writing, it's the real deal. I can just say from my own path as a songwriter and a writer and a voice coach, it is very precious to create refuges and sanctuaries for circles to happen. And I wish you much success.
Thank you.
Much success
too.
With your book.
I love talking with you. Thank you so much. Yeah. What a joy.
What a joy. And for everybody else out there, tune in. Next show is also another writer, Marilyn Horowitz, and she's going to be discussing her new book, Word of the Day, Transform Your Writing in 15 Minutes a Day, so that we can all do, right? And until then, everybody pick up Meredith's new book, Writing by Heart, and remember, you don't have to do anything except start putting your thoughts, your feelings, everything pen to paper or pencil to paper. I write a lot in pencils now, with pencils. I find it gorgeous, and sometimes I even lie on my belly on the ground and try to connect with my inner child. So
beautiful.
Yeah, keep on doing.
Can I say
such
that our pen is our magic wand? Pick
yes
up your magic wand, put it to paper.
Make up your magic wand. Okay, thank you so much.
Sarah.
Yeah, have a beautiful day. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye. Bye-bye.